You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Saskatoon singer-songwriter Jen Lane has just released her new album, This Life of Mine, and you're invited to help celebrate. It's been hard moving on. Produced by Vancouver's own, the critically acclaimed John MacArthur Ellis, the new record is a testament to songcraft and the power of music. Spend an evening with Jen Lane on Friday, April 8th at 8 p.m. at Café du Soleil on Commercial Drive, and get a copy of This Life of Mine to take home with you. For advance tickets or to order the album, head on over to jenlane.com.
If you or someone you know is experiencing challenges with mental health, there are lots of peer and professional resources available at UBC and in the community.
Kaleidoscope is a peer-run mental health support group on campus that meets every Monday, except statutory holidays, from 5 to 6 p.m. in Buchanan Building B, Room 307.
You can visit our website for updated meeting times and additional mental health resources at the-kaleidoscope.com.
If you live in Vancouver and need immediate help, please phone Mental Health Emergency Services at 604-874-7307 or 1-800-SUICIDE for the rest of British Columbia.
Hello. Hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, BC. The show is A Face for Radio. I'm your host, Eric Coates, and I am joined by a very special guest today, Mr. Rocky Knauer?
Knauer.
Knauer. I knew I was going to get that wrong. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Rocky is a jazz musician, bass player from Vancouver originally, and now based in Munich. Is that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, so he's going to talk a little bit about himself, about some of the people he played with, a little bit about jazz, and we're going to hang out and spend the next hour together sharing some stories.
Yeah, that's right.
And playing some music. So I think we'll before we get into anything, I'll play a little song that I listened to earlier this week by chance before I knew this interview was going to happen, and it is by Art Pepper off of the album Art Pepper Meets the Rhythm Section, and the song is called Burke's Works. Enjoy, and after that we'll be back to chat a little bit with Rocky. Thank you. All right, we are back. It's A Face for Radio. I'm your host, Eric Coates, here with Rocky Knauer. We just listened to Art Pepper meets the Rhythm Section, and it was Burke's Works, the song.
Should be.
Oh, there you go.
Red Garland, Paul Chambers, and Philly Joe Jones.
Yeah.
Miles' Rhythm Section.
The rhythm section. There you go. So we're going to get I want you to tell us, if you may.
Chet?
Yeah, how did you meet Chet Baker? And tell us the story.
It must have been about 2 a.m. I was at home.
Great start to
a
story.
I came back from my gig, and the telephone rings. And this is shortly after my birthday. Hello, is this Rocky Knauer? And I said, yeah. I said, hello, this is Chet Baker. And I said, yeah, come on. Who is this now?
Yeah.
Okay, who is that? You, Dave? No, this is really Chet Baker. I said, oh, okay. He said, well, I'm having trouble with my bass player, and I need a bass player. Can you come to Stuttgart tomorrow?
Of course I did. So when was this, and where were you?
I was at home southwest of Munich.
Okay.
And this was in 1979, January.
Okay.
Well, I looked to see, do I have any jobs? No, good. I don't have to cancel anything.
Yeah.
And I drove up.
Wow.
Waiting, and then Chet comes in. It was Jacques Pelzer. He's a Belgian alto saxophone player and flute player from Liège, who Chet stayed with a lot.
Yeah.
And Ruth Young, a singer who he was together with. And Michel Graillet, a fantastic piano player who's also parted from us from Paris. And Jean-Louis Rosenfoss, the bass player. Here we go.
Yeah.
And so we decide, okay, good. He will play a set, then I will, or a few tunes, and I'll play a few tunes. He had a 5-string bass with a high C string, so I couldn't play on his bass.
Yeah.
So we had to change basses also. It was kind of strange. Well, anyway, it was one embarrassing moment. Because there's always someone he lost the music.
Oh, yeah.
So Chet calls The Touch of Your Lips. I don't know this tune. So I ask Michelle, hey, could you please, just play the left hand a little bit, guide me through the tune? Well, okay. And so anyway, halfway through the tune, I got completely lost because so many chords, and Chet just stops the music. Stop! He turns around and looks at me and says, we're not playing the same tune. I say, yeah, you bet. I don't even know that.
Then he counts
it in again. 1, 2. Oh, okay. The second time I made it through, that was pretty embarrassing. A full back to listen to you. Oh, God. Anyway, at least he didn't throw me off the bandstand. But by the second time, that's what happens. Get off the bandstand.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my introduction. I mean,
wow.
And the rest of the gig went all right. And then, I got home, and a few weeks later, he called up and says, hey, you want to go on tour? And I said, yeah, okay, fine. That's how I met Chet Baker.
Wow. So did you end up going on tour?
Yeah, I did.
Where'd you go?
10 years.
For 10 years. Yeah. So you played in his band for 10 years.
For 10 years, yeah.
Jeez.
Except
Louise.
For 1985, he did a lot of things in duo with a Belgian guitar player. I forgot his name now.
we can search it up a bit later.
Yeah, right. And, right. But usually when he came, he'd call in advance or something, let me know.
Yeah, that's cool. So what was he like?
Well, actually a very mellow cat, relaxed, liked to watch movies and stuff. And
Yeah.
He could get upset if something was wrong with the music.
Okay.
He'll stop the music immediately. And or if something was wrong with the business part.
You know? Sure.
If someone didn't want to pay him on the break, telling him, oh, yeah, well, your manager said we should send him the money. Yeah, well, sure. How are we going to get to the next job?
That kind of stuff. Okay, so he was based in Europe at that time, right?
Yeah, mostly. Well, he never actually had an apartment. He was living either in hotels or with people. That's okay. Why he could never buy a car. He always wanted to buy a car.
Yeah.
A great driver, a fantastic driver. But all he could do was like rent one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember when we were playing in Munich, he said, Rocky, take me out to where they sell cars here. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we drive out to Lunsberger Strasse in Munich. And he sees a nice BMW, checks the tires. And the guy says, well, how much? We ask him, how much is it? The guy said, well, 5,000. He pulls out 5,000 marks at that time. It was the
really?
Mark. And the guy says, sorry, but you have to register it. And to register it, you have to have an address.
Yeah.
There's no way to get a license plate. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
shit. Okay, let's go.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's wild. So, what was it like playing with him at that time?
Oh, actually, wonderful. I mean, when the music was happening, it was like taking off on a magic carpet somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I read that, I guess it's not the most well known period for in North America, I guess, for Chet Baker.
Yeah, it was European years, yeah.
Yeah, because he released a lot of stuff on smaller labels in Europe that never really got released here. So even though it was a really prolific time for him, it's still not that well known.
Yeah, that's the label distribution problem. If you're a small label, it's hard to get into that. You take our records too. Oh, even with his name, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. So where did you tour? Where did you end up touring?
Well, the tour started in Paris and went all through Europe. Actually, we went down to Sicily. We were in France, up to Sweden, Norway.
Oh wow! So any memorable shows?
Quite a bit. Let's see, what was a real good one? Well, yeah, up in Stockholm, that was really nice.
Yeah?
That was great. All right. Red Mitchell was there with one of his bands. He sat in and played, which was great because I'm a Red Mitchell fan.
Okay, cool,
I'd sit down and watch him play a set.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting, I think, because jazz obviously is originated in the U.S.
It sure did.
It's an American, I think, essentially, very, it's American folk music. Basically,
yeah,
that's where it comes out from.
Cultural things that came out of America.
Yeah, based on the composition of the country.
Right.
And it was huge for a while. But then
because
I feel...
It was the dance music of the time.
Yeah.
Big bands, everywhere people were dancing.
Yeah, but then it sort
the
of...
music.
70s, 80s. But even at the beginning, you always had... there's been... But I think especially recently, more of an appreciation for jazz and jazz musicians in Europe than in North America.
Well, most of the Americans and other jazz musicians come to Europe, do the festival scene. I think they probably make more money playing jobs in Europe than they do in the States, unless they probably have, a lot of them maybe have a teaching job in university or something.
Yeah.
Because the jobs are far and few between in the last years.
Yeah.
The mass media is also faulted that. When do you see jazz on television?
Yeah,
so that the kids
exactly.
that are young get a chance to hear it. You know, what's that? Maybe something different than what's on MTV and all the other stations, what you hear on the radio all the time.
Yeah, totally. And that's a bit of a bit of the issue, I guess, is that jazz was, pop music, popular music for a while.
Up to the 50s, I guess, and then... rock and roll sort of came in.
Yeah, but
even then it was still jazz. You had clubs where you actually worked 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I remember working in clubs around Vancouver where you get a job for a week and you go to another job. But then I was still playing pop and rock and everything before I got into jazz. When I first, it was the same thing at school.
Yeah.
I've never heard jazz. And then one day I was in a band called the Shockers. It was sort of like a pop band. I was still playing guitar.
Yeah.
And the bass player, George Chaplin, said, hey, come on, Rocky, we're going down to Izzy Supper Club.
Okay.
I said, oh, yeah, who's playing? I had Duke Ellington. Who's that?
Really?
Oh, yeah, that opened my eyes. Wow.
So you saw Duke Ellington live?
That was fantastic. With
Willie
the Lion Smith on organ, who was one of Duke Ellington's mentors at the time who helped Duke get into the scene, which was really great. And he had some three singers. I think it was Sam Woodyard, Joe Benjamin on bass. I didn't know who they were now, but in the meantime, and Johnny Hodges and all the dudes. Wow, that so knocked me right out. That blew me off. I said, wow, what? I knew there was something between classical music and rock and pop. What is it?
Yeah.
And then, okay. And then I decided, ooh, I think I want to become a jazz musician.
Okay, wow. Well, that's good. That actually sort of brings us into the next part, because I want to talk to you about how you went from, you know, born in Vancouver to living in Munich as a jazz musician. How did that happen? But before that, I want to play a song by Ingrid Jensen, who you just told me about.
Oh, yeah, great Canadian trumpet player who I met in Linz, Austria, the Bruckner house. He was giving a concert there, and I was playing there with Mel Waldron.
All right.
If you know who that was, yeah.
No, I am...
Billie Holiday's piano player before she died.
Oh, really?
And he also had part of his band used to be John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy.
Wow.
Right, and now these records are being sold as Coltrane records, but they're actually Mel Waldron records.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we'll talk a bit about that, I guess, later. But so Ingrid Jensen playing I Fall in Love Too Easily, which you said was a song that Chet liked to play a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to listen to that and then talk a bit more about you.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Hello, you are listening to A Face for Radio here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Eric Coates, joined by Rocky Knauer, bass player, and he's going to tell me, or tell us, how he got to be in the studio today from where it all started to now. So,
well, I guess off to you. Yeah, I guess it all started in high school when I was going to Eric Hamber.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, sorry, I made the mistake. You were born in Munich, Germany.
Yeah, born in Germany, and I was 5 years old when my parents emigrated to Vancouver.
Okay, so your whole family's German.
Yeah.
Background,
right.
Okay, so you moved here when you were five. And then.
Yeah, and in 1972, I decided to become a jazz bass player and go to Europe and buy bass. I'll get to that later. But anyway, my music career started when I heard the Beatles.
Oh, yeah,
I ran to my mom and said, hey, Mom, she could play a little bit of guitar. She would sing folk songs and stuff.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can you show me some chords here? How does this go? She loves you. Yeah, yeah. You know.
So she
showed me a few chords. And I started whacking away on the guitar. And at school, I met a few other people that also were interested in music, so we'd get together and make a little band, have little sessions.
So do you that early band when you were
yeah,
in high school?
I was still in high school. This must have
been, what was the band called?
It was called The Blue Fox.
The Blue Fox?
Yeah, right.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
So you guys were just playing sort of rock and roll?
Yeah, well, basically it was Beatles, Jimi Hendrix stuff, some soul tunes, whatever was on the radio. There were Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
You name it, we tried to play it.
And you
lots
were,
of Beach Boys.
And you were playing guitar?
At that time, I was playing guitar. Right?
Okay. So you were shredding to, like, Jimi Hendrix songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I loved him, yeah.
So there was a talent early on, I guess, because I play guitar. There's no chance I could play a Jimi Hendrix solo. And that would take me, I think, like 3 years of practicing to get there. But
we dug it. And then and from that, we used to play like sock hops and every once in a while maybe a school dance somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I got a call from these guys. Now it was my last year of school. It was called the Shockers, right?
Yeah.
It was just basically a cover band playing all kind of whatever was happening on the radio at that time.
Okay.
And then from there, I got into a band called Brandywine. And another called Rangoon. And then I was playing with a guy named Jason Hoover, a singer.
Okay.
He used to be called Jason Hoover and the Epics, like a soul band.
Yeah.
I think he's still around.
Okay.
Yeah. And another guy named Hans Stamer was singing in this band called Brandywine.
Yeah.
And,
so, sorry to interrupt, but what was the scene like? What was it like playing in Vancouver at that time?
Oh, at that time it was good. There was places to play everywhere. I mean, there was no such thing as a discotheque, so
yeah.
There were no DJs yet. So music, if somebody wanted to dance or something, it was always a band. And all the clubs would hire bands from 2 weeks to a month, or at the least a 1 week.
Right? Yeah.
And then you had a chance while you were playing there to go audition maybe at another club
and
in the afternoon to get another job. There was so many clubs to play at.
And you were in high school, just out of high school, so you were still pretty young.
Yeah, I was already playing, jobs and stuff. I was 18 then, right? Just before I was graduating, so it was kind of hard getting home from a job and then getting up and going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy because nowadays it's tough because the way venues are in the city, it's tough for a lot of kids to play, you know, younger kids. Like if you're under 19...
Because the problem of getting into play.
Yeah, and then you have very few sort of all ages places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool, you have a lot of the shows sort of go to illegal venues or house parties or places where, you know, it's not regulated
yeah,
really.
Right.
But that's where you have to do it. It's a little tough, I think, especially if you don't.
Yeah,
you
if you're underage and then you're playing in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Okay, I had my green card from the union. So even though I was still underage, because of my size, no one asked.
Oh, then you're good.
Yeah, it's okay. I looked like I was 18 when I was 16. So,
so you were golden.
So I got away with that, right?
Okay, and then so back you're playing, playing in some bands in Vancouver, jamming, and then what happened?
And then, a friend of mine knocked on the door. I opened up, and it was my friend Dave Hannon, who we also played together in high school. And he brought over Bob Magnuson. He just played a concert with Sarah Vaughan.
The
Queen Elizabeth Theater, yeah. And they went, come on in. We're having a good time partying and stuff.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, there's a knock on my door, and it's Bob Magnuson again.
Yeah.
He said, "Hi, Rocky, how are you?" "I'm fine." He said, "He's just in town with the Buddy Rich Big Band."
Yeah, really?
And and all the cats. And if I want to come down to the club, because if...
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And so for a week, me and my friends, we got like front row seats to see Buddy Rich every night.
Wow. That was How wonderful. Was he?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And Bob was a great bass player. And so sometimes you'd see Buddy scream and shouting at the band, time.
Oh, yeah? Like,
yeah, because he's pretty hard. If this started dragging or something, he'd be shouting right away.
Yeah.
But wow, that sure opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And that and the thing with Duke Ellington. And then Bob said, I asked him, wow, that's he let me play on his bass fiddle. Yeah. Because at that time, I sort of started playing electric bass because of one of the bands I was in. We needed a bass player. So I ended up being the bass player. And from that, I ended up getting other work because people heard me and started calling me to play bass instead of guitar.
Okay.
And then Bob said, if you want to buy a good bass, you should go to Germany.
Oh, really?
And so, which I did 2 years later.
So then...
is the first time I met him was 70, and then he came up every year. And in 72, he was there again with... Buddy Rich again.
So then did you move back to Germany in 72?
In June of 72, just before the Olympics in Munich. Took my electric bass, bought a plane ticket, and flew to Germany.
So how did you get on your feet as a musician there?
First I just got a job to make some money.
Sort
of situated. And then I was in Augsburg, which is just west of Munich, working for the army. And there was a big music scene in that also, like playing for all the different soldiers all over the place. And that's how I got into the music scene, because the drummer, George Green, I started playing with him, and he was playing in all the jazz clubs in Munich and all over. And that basically introduced me into the music scene.
Okay. That's interesting. A lot of people, I think, there's a bunch of jazz people who played in the army.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I think is funny.
Yeah, 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 right. I think Joe Henderson and I think Freddie was in our... Miles wasn't. Yeah. Chet was in the army, but he got it.
Yeah. Cool. So then you were playing mostly in Munich?
Yeah, at first mostly in Munich. And then as I got more pop, let's say people knew who I was. And after I'd bought a bass fiddle, that's when I really started to work, because there weren't that many contrabass players in the jazz scene in Munich at that time.
Okay.
So, I got a bass and started practicing, and then got called up in that little town where I was living to play in the orchestra, to do the masses in the church, playing Beethoven and Mozart and Bach and Haydn. And I said, can I get the music about a month in advance? I could read music too well then.
Yeah.
I was just starting. I mean, I used to do everything by ear, right? Rock and roll. We didn't know how to read music.
Well, that's amazing.
And then a jazz school opened up in Munich. In 1975, so I started going to the jazz school. I quit my job and started studying. And from there on, met more and more people. And that was...
The rest is
history. Yeah, right. I remember I was working with some local bands, and then I got a call from Mel Waldron, right?
Yeah.
He'd heard about me if I had time to play a few jobs with him, or one job, he needed a bass player. So, Jeff, fine. And then again, later on, he calls up and says, "Hey, you want to go on tour?" I said, "Sure, I do."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So what's the scene like now in Munich?
In
because that's
Munich,
where you're based.
There's lots of musicians, good musicians, but nowhere to play.
Okay.
There's like three places. And so the it's basic. And the other thing is the clubs don't want to pay a wage anymore. It's gotten down to where you're playing for the door. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unless you've got a famous person with you, yeah, because where they know they're not taking an advantage.
Yeah.
There's also an organization. It's called the GAMA. It's like ASCAP or BMI.
Okay.
What they do is per how many people your club has, they have the club owners have to pay a fee to the GAMA, right, for having music in their club.
Yeah.
And if you've got a club for 100 people, you have to pay for 100 people even though three show up.
Okay.
And so this is like, this is one of the reasons why they don't want to pay
yeah,
a local band's a wage. You're playing for the door because they already have to pay the GAMA thing. And some of them may even get really fresh and ask 30% of that.
You know, really?
So, yeah, right.
So have you played in Vancouver recently?
Well, just a couple of sessions.
Yeah, I was wondering.
No jobs. I was trying to hook something up, and it was just too difficult. I went down to what's it called, Frankie's. That was a nice band playing down there.
I don't even know that place. Where's that?
Oh, it's what's that? Is it on Seymour? No, I think. Yeah, it's down by Canada Place.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what this is. Across the street.
Yeah, because there's I mean my mom used to go to this place called O'Doul's.
Uh-huh.
Which was like a little bar in a hotel, and there were tons of really good jazz musicians.
Oh, okay.
That they played
Post
jazz.
Playing, yeah.
It was a jazz bar, and it was like the only one that was really affordable for people, like for regular people to go and check out.
Students that don't have much money and want to hear some music.
Yeah, because
like
there's
in my day.
There's a place like called I'm not even sure if it's still open. I think it might close, but the Cellar.
Oh yeah. I know the Cellar. I used to play in there years ago.
Yeah.
He used to be on Broadway.
A guy
named
yeah.
Ronnie Small. It was called Ronnie's River Queen. Then it moved to Broadway, 10th and Main. And
yeah.
And then I don't know where it is now, but it's...
It used to be... It was on close to Broadway and Alma.
Oh, wow. Way out there. So they moved. Okay, they moved.
So there's sort of the issue, because I remember my mom would go there every once in a while if there's a mm-hmm. someone to see, or you know, some of her friends were going to check it out.
Oh, okay.
But it was like $20 minimum to get in.
Yeah, right.
Right, plus expenses,
and then come drinks and blah blah blah.
Yeah, so it was really tough. That was like a pretty expensive place.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think that's closed. And there's Pat's Pub. I don't know if you know that. That's a bar.
No.
It's kind of a grimy little bar in...
But they play good music, eh?
Yeah, every once in a while they play jazz. It's one of the few places, so there's less and less in the city.
Another place I saw the other day when I was driving around, I think it was somewhere on 4th and Vine or Arbutus, I think, called the Jazz Alley.
Okay.
I was going to stop by and see what that's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Before I leave.
So... I'm gonna ask you one more question, because I've never been to Munich,
mm-hmm.
but I did go. I went to Berlin a couple years ago. I spent a
oh yeah, that's a nice big city.
Yeah, I spent about a week there.
Oh, okay.
And that seems to be a place that has a lot going on.
Oh, it does. Yeah, a lot of the Munich musicians, the young kids, they all go up to Berlin because there's more work there.
Okay. Do you play there often or ever?
I haven't played there in a while. I used to. The problem is getting up there. Like I say, if we get a job, it's for the door. Now, who's going to drive to Munich to Berlin to play a job for the door where you might get 100 euros each, but it's costing you 200 to get up there?
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah, that's
you know,
good point.
It's really, yeah. That's why I'm glad I'm got my pension now. Spending all the money I saved.
All right. Well, we're gonna play a song here, and then I'm gonna ask you a little bit about music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna get you to tell if you want a little bit after this. We're gonna play Sun Ra, the song Angel and Demons at Play. And I want Sun Ra, someone I'm trying to get to know a bit better. So after we listen to this tune, I'm gonna ask you some questions about him, maybe some other people, and see if you can share some knowledge. All right, this is Sun Ra. Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, April 16th, CJSF and CITR are bringing you Record Store Day, a full noon to 7 p.m. broadcast from locations all around Vancouver. There will be live bands, interviews, prizes, and more at your favorite locations. Beat Street, Vinyl, Red Cat, and Neptune. Come on down or tune in on Saturday, April 16th on CJSF 90.1 FM or CITR 101.9 FM.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
Get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
They call me
DJ Ray.
Late night show is the start of the weekend. We play all sorts of drum and bass, D&B, jungle for the first part of the show. On the second part of the late night show, we play lots of ambient sounds or any irritating type of noise that goes bump in the night or any type of new age music that you hear on other stations. Only it's better here on CITR. Or any other case for that matter, if you're out and about and you want to hear something that is really groovy and stuff, then check out the late night show here on CITR 101.9 FM or streaming us online at CITR.ca. We broadcast right about after Friday night, Saturday mornings at 12:30 in the morning, just right after the Medicine Show hosted by Jason Lawrence. You can email me on request or any drum and bass you like to hear or any local D&B. If you are a drum and bass person that you want to share on the radio or on CITR, the email address is CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
Hello, we are back on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm here. My name is Eric Coates. The show is A Face for Radio, and I'm joined by special guest Rocky Knauer, bass player based in Munich, Germany right now. So we just before those ads, we listened to the song Angels and Demons at Play by Sun Ra. And do you know a little bit about Sun Ra. Do you have any suggestions for how, if I'm someone who knows about this guy who is apparently an alien, has a whole religion based after him or that he created or something, I don't even know, and a discography of over 100 records, what do I do? Or do you have any suggestions? Or what do you have to say about him?
Well,
do you
I like the music. Some of it's kind of way out. Yeah. We really have to think twice. And but it's all legitimate. I mean, there's no bullshit involved here.
Yeah.
It's partly very free, and like the thing you just heard, that's basically modal.
Okay.
And but in time. But yeah, he had lots of great musicians and had Oh, was a great composer. And also live, I think it was pretty spectacular to see. And they all played really well, that's for sure.
Did you ever see him live?
Yeah, I saw him live once in Munich in the Allotria in 1988.
Was it 88? Wow.
Yeah, after Freddie Hubbard. Yeah.
So he was playing, was he playing synthesizers or?
Yeah, he was playing a synthesizer. Then he had a little, it looked like a Wurlitzer keyboard. Remember those things?
Yeah.
Wurlitzer. And of course, the grand piano was on the bandstand. But synthesizer on the Wurlitzer, he played a lot.
Okay. So I'm gonna drop some more names.
Mm-hmm.
We started off the show with Art Pepper. He's sort of a guy that I guess is associated sort of with West Coast cool jazz kind of thing, similar to Chet
like the
Baker.
Curtis Counts group and those.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
What do you have to say? Do you know, are you into him?
Oh, yeah. 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 All of those guys.
Yeah. And that's a.
It was like a little, it wasn't maybe as aggressive a music as bebop coming from. The East Coast.
Yeah.
I remember Chet saying, well, the first time he heard Dizzy, well, it's also in the movie, Let's Get Lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, when I mean, he heard Dizzy, said, oh, that was a rude awakening. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so what, bebop's actually, I'll admit that it's a little over my head a lot of the time. I like, I guess, hard bop,
mm-hmm.
like Art Blakey.
Oh, yeah. I was in his band, too. I was
really?
Lucky, yeah, I was lucky enough to be a jazz messenger.
No way. You were one?
Yeah, with Javon Jackson on tenor, Kenny Garrett on alto just before he went to Miles, Benny Green on piano, and Philip Harper was playing trumpet.
That's great.
Yeah.
How was that? How was he?
Oh, great. Art was buena, yeah. He was wonderful, yeah. We'd hang out together. And he liked my playing. Actually, I was subbing for Peter Washington because he didn't get his passport renewed in time.
Okay.
So they came over to do a tour, and it was the same thing. I get a call, hey, Rocky, can you play with Art Blakey? And I said, yeah, sure. When? Yeah, tomorrow. Oh, God. Okay, so I had to cancel some stuff. Of course, I'll cancel anything to play with that.
Yeah.
And that was like a week tour. And then I remember he took me out to dinner when we were playing in, Marseille, right?
Yeah.
And then from there we were going to Nizza, and it had already been a week. And he said, "Look, Rocky, if Peter doesn't show up anymore, you want to join the band?"
Really?
And I said, "Is the Pope Catholic?" yeah. And of course, who shows up comes running out of the hotel when we get to Nizza. Peter. So anyway, what he did do is he hired me on to drive the car, because I was driving the rental car, right? I had to rent a car for them there. And I was the chauffeur for the rest of the tour.
Oh, that's
was
still pretty nice. Yeah. I want to ask you, what about Coltrane?
Oh, wow.
Because I bought a triple CD that had Blue Train,
mm-hmm.
Training In, I think, and Dakar or something, or John Coltrane Dakar or something like that.
Oh, yeah, okay, a lot of the later stuff, very, some of it very free. And
yeah, that was a little, I mean, it took me
many actually, that's
listens.
Not the best thing that someone should buy when he's trying to get into John Coltrane.
Yeah.
My first record was Ohm. And,
that's one
I was
of
like,
the,
what?
That's a crazy album.
You're not kidding. I was just coming from rock and roll guitar and stuff and some, John Coltrane. Oh, yeah. I heard something on, wow, that's great. With Miles, right?
Yeah.
So let me buy a John. And I said, Ohm. Okay. I was like, whoa. Okay. All right. I still listen to that once in a while. At the time, the only thing I could really understand was the drums.
Yeah. No, I listened to the album that.
But the early records, the ballad records with Johnny Hartman.
But also his A Love
Lush
Supreme.
Life, A Love Supreme, yeah.
That is an amazing record.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Jeez.
Favorite things and all these kind of things.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to his wife, Alice Coltrane?
Oh, yeah. I've got most of her records.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, right?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a little
nice
different,
harp player.
Too.
Yeah. There's a record that came out with Charlie Hayden, Alice Coltrane. It was a Joe Henderson record called The Elements. And who was playing drums? Gibaldi, I think. Well, anyway, yeah, I thought that was real hip too. I said, wow. And that's when I started listening to Joe Henderson a lot too.
Yeah.
Which I ended up in his band as well.
Really?
With Renee Rosnes from North Vancouver.
Okay.
Playing piano.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
And Cindy Blackman on drums.
Okay.
Oh, the skinny little, small little black American chick that can kick ass, believe me, man. And the next time I saw her, she was playing drums with Lenny Kravitz. You know, so,
really?
Oh, there's Cindy. Okay. Boy, she, yeah. A young chick.
Cool.
I think she was only about 24 or something. She played better than any of the guys I'd been playing with.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there
like,
you
holy
go.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Okay, and then I guess last one, Miles. He's the, you know, he's... I guess.
Yeah.
the man.
Yeah. That's right. Sure knocked me out.
Yeah. What are some of his? Because he changed a lot,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Over his
the
career.
The first record I heard from Miles was In a Silent Way.
Okay.
Which was came out just when I was in last year. I was 69. I was still in high school. Oh, no, I just graduated or whatever. So was it 69 or 70? But anyway, I said, oh, wow, that's great. You know, we can play that one.
Yeah.
We started playing those kind of tunes. And then from there, of course, Bitches Brew. We'd listen to that day and night until the grooves were already going.
Oh, yeah?
Then I got into the early Miles stuff after, you know. Right?
Yeah.
Midnight, Kind of Blue.
Yeah, that's great.
And all the Rick the Sorcerer. And,
I have a record, his soundtrack to the movie Elevator to the Gallows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Have you ever listened to that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is...
Yeah, with the French cats.
Yeah.
I know some of those guys. Yeah. Henri Texier on bass. And, yeah, that's a great movie, too.
Yeah, it is a great movie.
The soundtrack, of course, is dynamite. Yeah,
yeah, no, the opening scene, I think, is hilarious because it's the guy in the phone booth. And they're showing all the names of the people. Yeah. And then right when Louis Malle's name, the director, mm-hmm. comes up, Miles Davis just goes right in and just hits this really high note. And then just goes into a little refrain, just like showing it off while his name is there. So that was pretty funny. And there's also, yeah, I guess we'll sort of close it up. How it happens, you met my mom at her work. You guys started chatting.
Yeah, right. I was looking for a blouse for the people, the wife of my landlord, right?
Yeah.
Because she's taking care of my apartment and the flowers. I wanted to bring her a little present along.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then she was helping me, and then we just started talking, and then I said, oh, yeah, I'm a musician. She asked me what I was doing. Basically, I'm on a six-week ski vacation visiting my buddies. And
yeah.
Then I said, oh, yeah, and I used to play with Chet Baker. And she said, what? She's the first one I met that knew who Chet was. Everyone I tell, they know who's Chet. Nobody knows. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, my mom
and
loves
the Caribou and up in Revelstoke. You can imagine that up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not too many people knew who that is.
No, my mom played Chet Baker records
home
when I was a little kid. To me, he was always...
Yeah. That's a nice thing to wake up to.
Yeah, wow, yeah, seriously. Yeah. But also, you guys talked, I guess, of the fact that there's a new movie coming out.
Yeah, right.
Born
yeah.
to Be Blue, directed by Robert Boudreau, who's a Canadian director, and starring Ethan Hawke as Chet Baker. And I think the movie actually, part of it's set during the time that you must have been playing with them.
I think so.
So who knows? Maybe you'll see.
I was playing with, well, from 79 till he died, right? So
yeah.
88.
Yeah, that's a large, I think that's part of the chunk that the movie focuses on.
Well, maybe he took some footage from some of the, I mean, we did a lot of TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe they took some footage of that.
And also, I guess the other thing, there's Miles Ahead is the name of the movie, the Miles
really?
Davis movie that came out.
The
name of his
record.
Yeah. So that's a Don Cheadle movie, which I guess is good because the next show is coming up is The Real World, and they're going to talk about movies. So
okay.
I guess this is
right.
a good segue for them. I'd like to thank you, Rocky Knauer, for coming on the show and chatting.
Well,
I hope
thanks,
you had a
Eric
good time.
Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure.
It's all your mother's fault.
Yeah, no, my mom is a self-declared manager
cool.
for my artistic endeavors.
Oh, good. She immediately said, oh, wait a minute. Wow, my son has a radio broadcast and tomorrow, do you got time? And I said, oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, this is perfect. So we got, yeah.
I'm glad
really
I do
because
nice. If I hadn't found a room this morning, I'd still be running around looking for a room. But that's cool.
Yeah.
I found one, so I just made it here in time.
Well, I hope you have a good time skiing.
Oh, yeah, that's where I planned. Well, I think I'll go to Grouse today. They're open late, right?
Yeah, they have the lights. Because I got to check
into I booked into the Sylvia.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my dreams when I was a kid. I used to collect pop bottles and stuff down at English Bay and go to the fish and chips the place on the corner and get fish and chips.
Yeah, no,
and
that's
I always saw the Sylvia and I said, one of these days I'm going to stay in there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful...
I was in there last time when I was here in October.
Okay.
For a month visiting some friends.
Yeah, and you said while we were chatting that you're going to play with your old high school buddies.
Yeah, we're going to get a little jam together.
So that's
tomorrow
cool.
night we're going to see that Chet Baker movie, Born to Be Blue.
Actually, I guess just one last thing before the real world and going a bit over. I want to ask you, do you know who Thundercat is, or Esperanza Spalding?
Oh, sure. Esperanza. I saw her in Munich. She's great. What a dynamite bass player.
Yeah, she's a pretty good too. Yeah, she has a new album out.
These young chicks coming up these days, they got balls.
Yeah.
Or big ovaries, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to cut it here. Thank you for listening, and The Real World is up next.
This Daffodil month, add a spring to your step with the Canadian Cancer Society's Daffodil Dash on April 24th, a run to raise funds for cancer research and prevention, as well as support for people living with the disease right now.